Bibles to the book of Acts, please, chapter number 9. The book of Acts, chapter number 9. And it seems like the Lord has took me back places, but some things bear repeating over and over and over. And so we just want to mind the Spirit of God to the best of our ability. And Acts chapter number 9, let's jump in verse 31. And of course, we know that in Acts 9, Saul, of course, Saul was a Hebrew name. Paul was a Roman name. And when Saul started his ministry, he began to use Paul. And Saul and Paul are the same individual. And of course, there's a Saul in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it's the same person. We know that he got saved in the beginning of the chapter. And I'll repeat this, but before he got saved, he was eat up with religion. Religion makes you mean. That's right. Religion. The Pharisees had religion, and they was mean. Didn't have any compassion. Didn't have any heart. Their problem wasn't their standards. They had good ones. It wasn't their problem. Their problem was their heart. Amen. They were religious. And we got to be careful to have a balance. Amen. Folks, I'm for standards. And everybody, if anybody has a standard higher than mine, it doesn't mean they're Pharisees. You know, a lot of times people say, well, they're just Pharisees and legalists because they have a standard higher than yours. That don't necessarily mean it. When they become a legalist is when they'll tell you if you don't have their standard, you're not right with God. That's legalism. Amen. You're not saved if you don't have my standard. Amen. If you don't have Jesus, you're not saved. Amen. I believe in having all the Bible standards, but you can junk man-made ones. Amen. Man-made standards will drive you nuts. Trying to please everybody will drive you nuts. Just please the Lord. But in verse 31, the Bible said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Now, that's a good verse. And I want to use it as a springboard tonight to preach on six kind of people the church needs. Six kind of people the church needs. Now, again, we find salvation or conversion brings a change. Again, Saul, before he got saved, the Bible said that he made, this is chapter 8, verse 3, that he made havoc of the church. Havoc means waste, devastation. Basically, Saul made a mess out of the church. Then we know in chapter 9 where he gets right with God and he gets saved. And now we find since one man got right with God, the church had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of God, not the fear of Saul. And in comfort of the Holy Ghost. Folks, y'all don't read anything into this because it's not, but it's amazing what will happen in the church when one troublemaker gets right with God. It's amazing what happened in the church when one troublemaker gets right with God. Amen. They had rest in the house of God. They had rest. But notice here with me, when the church had rest, four things automatically happened in that verse. Number one, edification. They begin to build each other up. Folks, one of the major jobs of me and you is to edify each other. First, edify the Lord, lift him up. Amen. Christ said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw him in unto me. We edify him. Then we edify each other. That's right. We edify. Then we find sanctification. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Hey, when that troublemaker got right with God, they all started separating unto God. And they began those godly standards, walking in the fear of the Lord. Hey, I don't know why I'm on this. Honestly, I don't. But don't set a standard because you fear the preacher. Don't set a standard because you want to please a person. You do that. Sanctification comes when you walk in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. That's where, hey, you know what? I've seen people set a standard about certain things. I'm not going to get into it. And they did it because a certain preacher said to do it. And I'm not saying that preacher was wrong. Don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. But that was their whole purpose. That standard lasts about 6 months. And that brings more confusion than anything. But however, when we do it because the Lord said so, and we fear the Lord, that's a different story. So you need to check and say, Lord, in my sanctification, in my separation, in my growing, what is in my life that should not be there? What is there? Show me, tell me. And when the Lord settles your heart in the Word, that standard won't be hard to make or keep. Amen. When the Lord settles it in your heart. Right. Amen. Amen. Then there's manifestation, comfort of the Holy Ghost. His presence. You notice sanctification come before manifestation. See, they until they begin to edify, until they got sanctified, they really couldn't experience the presence of the Spirit of God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you this. Church, if we're not going to be holy, don't expect the Holy Spirit to manifest His presence. Now you get a hold of that. That's worth saying again. If we're not going to be holy, don't expect the Holy Spirit to manifest His presence. Amen. I don't believe, and again, we understand that one man hindered it here, but I believe it's more than one man in most local churches. We've got carnally minded. And folks, you say, preacher, you ain't rode this hobby horse in a long time. No, and he's been neighing at me to ride. Folks, we're in trouble when God's people, listen to me, make Sunday secondary. Now, that's not a preacher standard. That's a Bible one. When Sunday becomes common, we're in trouble. We need revival. Amen. When Sunday is not sacred, when Sunday is not sacred, come on, we're in trouble. We can't expect the Spirit of God to move. We can't expect God to bless our lives. I believe your prayers will be hindered. Amen. I do. I don't believe the power of God will be in our lives. Until we set in order what God puts first and what God tells us to keep. Hello. How old silver away? Then there's edification, there's building up, then there's sanctification, walking in the fear of the Lord, manifestation, comfort of the Holy Spirit. But now, at the end of that, multiplication. They were multiplied. See, the church grew spiritually first. Then they grew in number. I believe that's the order it ought to be. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, not everything that swells up is growing. It could be rotting from the inside out. Amen. That's right. So, the four things that automatically happened when the church had rest was edification. They began to build up the Lord, build themselves up. Sanctification, they walked. In other words, their lifestyle, their daily conduct, they walked in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Then they had comfort of the Spirit. Then the church grew. The church grew. But let me give you six. Six kind of people that's needed. It's a simple, textual, topical message. So don't think y'all ain't studied. I ain't preaching expository. I'm preaching what God give me. six people, kind of people the church has to have, or we going under. Right. Number one, fully surrendered people. Amen. Here's what Paul told the Corinthian people about the churches of Macedonia. That's Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. He said this. He said, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. See, Paul, Corinth was a carnal church.
That's right.
Full of talent and full of money, but not God.
Right.
None of them was surrendered. They wanted to praise. They wanted debates and sit around and fuss about what was right and what was wrong. Well, I'm convicted over that. Well, that don't bother me. And all they done was went back and forth, back and forth. And Paul said on one occasion, hey, let me tell y'all something. Meat's nothing. So therefore, Paul told them, he said, let me tell you something. The church of Macedonia, before they gave anything, they gave themselves. Can I say something to y'all? If the Lord ever gets you, he'll get everything else you got. Amen. You know why you got a problem tithing? I'm getting to that one too. Hallelujah. It's because you ain't give yourself to God.
You're right. That's right.
Amen. You know why you got a problem? Hey, praying and coming to church, being a witness, you ain't give yourself over to God. Hey, I'm going to say, you remember, y'all, some of our church remember Brother Sammy Allen. Man, what a preacher. But I've never been to his camp meetings before he passed away. But, you know, he'd raise money for that camp. And he'd take 2 hours raising money. Now, I know some of y'all, that's wrong, that's sin. I'd be scared to say that about him.
Amen.
The pastor had him in for a meeting and had his basement finished and had him down there. Pastor, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep one night all week while he was with me. He said, why? He said, he prayed out loud all night long. All night he prayed. So be careful criticizing somebody like that. But before he got done, these people were giving their watches away. They putting them in the offering plate. Rings. And I know some of you are going, that's crazy. Hey, I think the Holy Ghost is moving and God puts it on their heart. Put it in there. I'm just simply saying, when God gets us, he can get everything else we got.
Right.
He can get our time.
Amen.
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 He'll get you out for soul winning visitation.
Amen.
If he's got you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He'll get you to church on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Right. If he's got you. He'll get you on a prayer. Hey, if he's got you, he'll get you. And every church, we got to have people that's fully surrendered. We partially surrender. Well, I go to church most of the time. Well, you go to church to get fed. So you show up every now and then at feeding time, which you should. But what are you doing? Preach, you've been kind of rough the last few weeks, ain't I?
Well, I give my tithes.
The tithes are the Lord's. They're not yours.
Amen.
That's what the Bible said. The tithes are the Lord's. Some of you ain't given that.
Amen.
Amen. The consensus says about 25-30% of church members keep up most average Baptist churches.
Right.
And we got good givers here. But I think the Holy Ghost had me say that. Some of y'all ain't doing that. You're not giving anything until you give above it. Tithe is the minimum. Grace giving gives more. As God is proper, is what Paul was trying to teach the church. Don't nobody get upset. I don't preach on money hardly ever. Amen. Boy, I could camp out right there, but I'm not. Let's go to number two. Fully surrendered people. Hey, firmly standing people. What Paul said to the people of Philippi in chapter 4 and Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. That word stand fast means stand firm, persistent, to persevere.
Right.
Folks, we in a place now we're standing but not fast. We're not anchored. Most Christians don't know much about the Bible, so they can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And then every time a little breeze blows of trouble, I'm out. Come on. Those that are firmly standing, just because somebody says something a little negative to them, they ain't out for 2 months. This is a Wednesday night sermon, ain't it? They're not out for 2 months just because something didn't go their way. They don't come in with a pooch mouth. They firmly standing. Amen. Hey, we need revival, church. I'm not talking about 4, 5, 6 nights of meeting. I'm talking about personal revival. Drawing nigh to God and Him drawing nigh to us. Resisting the flesh and the devil and asking God to put a spirit of awakening in our heart. That's what revival is. I've been in a bunch of good meetings. We've had a bunch of good meetings here, but very little permanent change. Amen. So a lot of people think, well, we had a shouting time at church, and I love those things, but that's not revival. God could use it to help us get our heart on revival and get things right. Revival is when we do a personal inventory of our own heart. Come on. Hey, let me tell you this. Drifting is unnoticeable until you went a long way. I've told y'all the beach story. I'm sorry, scratch that out. The coast story. First time I ever went, when I was a boy, with another family, me and my buddy, we was playing in the water. We was just younguns. We was having a time, and we wasn't thinking about nothing else. We was playing. We thought we was in the same spot, and by the time my buddy's daddy came and said, y'all get back up here, we done went way down through there. Yeah. Never noticed it.
That's right.
Hey, if you're not careful, come on, let me say this. If you're not careful, you're having too much fun in the flesh, you drift farther than you think you went. That's profound, ain't it? If you're not careful, having so much fun, them Sunday fun days get you to drifting. Hello? Yeah. I ain't mad at you. I love you. But we need revival. And I'm coming back to this. If Sunday don't get spiritual again, if Sunday don't get separated again, this church is going to drift on out yonder. And we're going to stand there and wonder what happened. I'm telling you what's happening. The Lord's Day is being looked at and lived like it's nothing. We in trouble. Firmly standing. And then, thirdly, y'all don't have many. Thirdly, we need some fighting soldiers. Fully surrendered, firmly standing, fighting soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fighting soldiers. God don't want soldiers just standing there. He says endure hardness as a good. In other words, you got to put up with some things and just carry on. I don't think I done preached most of that thought. Thou therefore endure hardness. When I go endure hardness. Folks, I wish I could say this, and every preacher here has preached it, and you've been saved a while, you know it. Being saved is the most wonderful thing that can ever happen to your life. Having peace of God, peace with God, knowing you're going to heaven. But the Christian life on this earth is not easy. And it never will be easy. Because constantly your flesh is going to go against the Spirit. Constantly the flesh is going to go against the Spirit. You have an ultimate enemy, the devil, and he has people. And the world's going to make sure They go by the devil's agenda and put all kind of distractions along the way. All kind of distractions along the way. Gonna put it there. Spotlight here. Neon sign there. A place there. A person there. And they're going to, but we got to endure it.
Amen.
Keep marching forward.
That's right.
Amen. Folks, you understand the seriousness of the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Do you understand the seriousness of the millennial reign? Do y'all understand there'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign before the new heaven and new earth comes down? Do you understand that Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years and we're going to rule and reign with Christ? He's going to sit down on the throne of David and rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years.
Right.
Millennial means 1,000. And as you are faithful, you can be the boss and you can be high, but if you're a Christian and you're not doing what God said now, you're going to be way on the bottom
during
a millennial reign. Do you see the seriousness of standing before the Lord Himself at the judgment seat of Christ?
Amen.
At the Bema seat? When our works are made manifest? Folks, here's the thing, and I'm saying this in fear and in trembling. Some won't even have a work to make manifest. They won't have anything for the Lord to try by fire. Man, I'm preaching this and the Spirit of God's touching my heart. Hey, that's serious to me.
Amen.
And the works I have to be put in the fire, I want them to be right.
Amen.
Not to impress man. Not because it's expected of me. Folks, that's why, listen to me, that's why serving God gets so aggravating and frustrating and you quit because you're doing it either to please man or out of some type of obligation in your mind. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
In light of what He's done for you.
Amen.
Do it for Jesus in light of what He has done for you.
Amen.
Amen. Had a man tell me one time, said, that visitation stuff just is not me. Well, who is it? It's not for any of us. None of our flesh wants to do that. And risk rejection. Risk getting cussed out. Risk. Folks, I don't know how many Brother Fry's group, I don't know how many doors they knocked yesterday, but we probably hit, I don't know, 75 or 100. Am I stretching that? Be like the sword of the Lord and put it, we hit 500 houses. But a bunch. And overall, people were very friendly. I tell you one thing, I learned afresh, don't judge a book by looking at the cover.
That's right.
Amen.
Me and Cooper and Caden walked up to a place. It looked rough. I said, y'all stand right here. I'm going on the porch by myself. And I think that was wise. I mean, it was rough. I knocked on the door. And a chihuahua started barking. Literally, it was a chihuahua. Some of them sounded like they had lions in there. Them probably wouldn't bite you. If a chihuahua ever got sight of a German Shepherd, he'd kill you. But this dude come out, he looked bad. He looked bad. I mean, he looked rough. But you talking about friendly? Took his hand out. I shook his hand. Let me speak to him a minute. He said, I have a church home. He said, well, you should have said, no, I shouldn't have said anything. But I told him where we was from. We'd love to have him. But some of the ones that didn't look real, hey, there ought to be a no trespassing sign down there. Well, there's not. If there had been one, it wasn't knocked on your door. We didn't say all that. We just said, sorry, sir. Folks, nothing Listen to me. Nothing we do spiritual will ever be comfortable for the flesh. God likes to get us out of our comfort zone. And if you walk full of the Holy Spirit of God, there'll still be a joy there, and the flesh will kind of be silent. Hey, no, I'm going on. That's what God wants me to do. No, don't listen to that. Don't listen to the flesh. Don't listen to the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Number four, we need faithful servants. Matthew 25, 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. I believe that's speaking of the millennium. I preached this years ago, and this come to mind. I'm going to give it to you in a hurry. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not preaching in anger. I'm preaching under a burden. Y'all know the difference of that. I'm not angry. God knows my heart, I'm not angry. I mean, I'm angry a lot of times with me. My issues most time with me. I'm not angry. I'm preaching under a burden. Folks, we're in the last days. And folks, churches like this, hey, if we don't stay the course, we're going to disappear. If we keep allowing, and I'm not calling it little things, we keep quitting this little bit and stopping that little bit and doing that. Well, next thing you know, it's going to be all big. And our whole family's going to be out of church. And our babies, they're going to be raised in the house of God. Oh, that'll never happen to me. You better watch it. Strong Christians, you've done it. Strong Christians, then you've done it. I know people right now have been in our church 40 years, used to be a stronger Christian family you ever want to meet. They ain't even in church no more. And it's various kinds of things that got them out, but it was just a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. You know, number one, hey, God's house meant nothing anymore. The seriousness of the need to have their families in the house of God didn't really matter anymore. And it didn't matter more. And it didn't matter more. And it didn't matter more. And folks, I'm preaching under a burden tonight. I have a burden for families of our church. Amen. I love you. And when I'm seeing it, and you wanna say, what are you doing? Can't you see the path you're on? Come on. It's a burden. It's a burden. Folks, do you understand that I preached at churches? Recently, at one that was, the sanctuary was larger than this church. For years, it ran between 400 and 500 people. Solid, fundamental Baptist, Bible-believing church, great pastor, solid, solid, solid. In this state. Now, I don't know what all's going to happen. I don't know. But I preached to 15 people. And I walked through the back doors. Beautiful, beautiful place. Had liberty to preach to people there. Loves God. Pastor loves God. Great man of God. Wonderful man of God. Great man of God. Oh, that happens there. It'll happen here too if we're not careful. And when that stuff happens, gradually happens, there's no one person to blame. It's a time to self-examine. It's time for self-judgment. It's time for self-evaluation. Where am I at? Where's my family at? What are we doing? What are we doing different than we used to do? What are we doing different than we used to do? What's different? What are we not doing we used to do? You can't sit there and say, that's the preacher's fault. That's that deacon's fault. That's that. No. I believe when that begins to chunk a little bit at a time, it's a collective thing. We begin to allow the cares of this life. Amen. Satan gets us so busy, the cares of this life, and you just can't get it all done. But I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do the other. And in your mind, for some reason, you don't have to go to church. If you're saved, you have to go, or you're gonna be in a mess. I need faithful service. Let me hurry. My time's gone. So we need fully surrendered, firmly standing, fighting soldiers, faithful servants. Here we go. And I didn't preach it. Everybody's all right. Financial supporters. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that he may that there be no gatherings when to come. Paul said, a church can't function if you're going to sit here and wait on me to get here, then give me all the offerings. Paul said, don't do that. He said, the first day of the week. That's Sunday. The Old Testament said, bring your tithes to the storehouse. Storehouse is your local church. Amen. Paul said, as God has prospered you in direct proportion as God has blessed you. That's how you give. Y'all don't believe me. But I know, I'm not standing up here and brag on flesh at all, but I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about. You ain't going to outgive God. And I'll be honest with you, you want to see God bless your life? Folks, this has been truth before charismatic movement ever started. You'll see God bless your life. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a grace giver. Amen. Put it to the test. Don't give law, give grace for 3 months and come back and talk to me. Give above and beyond. Amen. Pray about it. Pray, Lord, how much over my tithe should we give every week? He might just say $5. He probably just laid $10 on you. He may leave $100 on your heart. He may leave $500 on your heart. Right. You see where I'm going with this? I'm getting higher. How's God prospered you? When much is given, much is expected. How much has God prospered you? Come on. Church needs financial supporters. Churches should not have to solicit from the world to pay their power bill. Amen. We shouldn't have to solicit from the world to do anything. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about if we had a Christian school or if we had some type of mission. I ain't talking about stuff. I'm talking about the cares of the church. God's provided His people with that. You know, one preacher said this. You say, I ain't coming back. You preach on money. Hey, this church will tell you how often I do that. Pastor got up one Sunday, said, I got good news and I got bad news. He said, the good news is there's enough money in the church to pay off the building. He said, the bad news is it's still in your pocket. One of the easiest things I do is give. Amen. Y'all ready for me to quit? Lastly, the church got to have fruitful soul winners. Fruitful to win souls. Now, we could call it like this, fruitful to plant the seed of the Word of God. We may sow on stony ground, among thorns. But folks, we keep sowing the Word of God, it's going to fall on good ground eventually. Amen. I understand that the seed of the Word of God in that parable only fell, 25% of it only fell on good ground. But aren't you glad for 25%? Amen. If you hadn't sowed it all, none of it would have. And all the other ground was held accountable now because the seed was being sowed. But he's told to go sow seed. Go sow the seed of the Word of God. Just go sow it. Just go sow it. Everywhere God opens the door, sow it. Well, preacher, I've been sowing seed. I've been giving out tracts. I've been telling people about the Lord. And I've been doing it for 100 years. No, we ain't done 100 years. I've been doing it for 25 years. I ain't seen but one soul say, praise God. Amen. That's probably more than the average Christians ever saw. Yeah. Right. But look at the seed you sowed.
That's right.
Some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. We've just been told to sow it and water it.
Amen.
And go sow it again and go water it some more. Amen. Sometimes it grows fast, sometimes it don't.
That's right.
I enter a pastor's little church. Brother Hugh Flynn is still living. His wife passed away. I don't know. It's not been a year yet. But Thomas was a couple of years old, and we was there for a year, just interim pastoring. And that congregation, most of them were older folks, and they all planted big gardens. And that was the topic, gardens. Well, I didn't know come here from Sikkim from a garden. Some of y'all will get that after a while, too. So, I mean, Paul said I became all things, all men, so I planted a little something. So I got into the conversation one Sunday. I said, I planted some watermelons. And I guess they saw my ignorance, which wasn't too hard. So that Monday, I went to work. And I had a little spot there where I threw some panels. You know, it was ugly. It was a mess. There was no hope. And I happened to look over there, and there was this gigantic watermelon sitting right in the middle of it. And I didn't get out of the truck. I'm studying that thing. Could it have growed that fast? I'm serious. I'm thinking, I'm getting out of the truck. And I got out, and I walked over to it, and there ain't no vine coming out of the ground, no nothing. It's just sitting there. And I know exactly what had happened, and I know who had done it. I show up for church that Wednesday night, and he's looking at it. He's looking at the corner, he's watching me, and I ain't paying him no attention. I ain't acting like nothing. He's just watching me like, man, he ain't gonna, did he not even see it? I mean, he was waiting on me, and I ain't paying him a lick of attention. I got in the pulpit and I said, I know all y'all's got gardens and y'all been doing it a long time. I said, but if y'all want to know how to grow watermelons, y'all need to come see me. He lost it over there. Now, had the Lord wanted to grow one that fast, he could have. But he'd been hooked to a vine. You understand? We just sow seed. Sometimes we'll see fruit quick. Sometimes not so quick. We got to keep tilling. We got to keep throwing seed. We got to keep watering. It's not an option. That's part of the Christian life. It's part of the Christian life. Folks, that's why the Lord left us here, to be sounding the trumpet, warning the people. Judgment's coming. But God made a way of escape through his son Jesus. And he'll save you. Right. If you let him. We need fully surrendered people. Firmly standing people. Fighting soldiers. Faithful servants. Financial supporters. And fruitful to win sinners. Let's all stand. Miss Courtney's coming. Thank you for your time. Altar's open. Heads are bowed. Knives are closed just for a moment. If you need to come, I got to pray. My preaching's convicted me bad today. I appreciate